Sutuvacha.
Samprashtite
Dvarakayam. Dishnau Bandhu Didrikshaya. Kyatim cha punya shlokasya. Krishnasya cha vichestitam. Sutuvacha. Samprashtite dvarakaram. Jishno bandhu didrikshaya. Kyatum cha punya shlokasya. Krishnasya cha vichestitam.
What's the procedure? Do you read the purport still?
No, well, you read the first verse, first purport, and it depends. Sometimes one has to read the whole thing, and then it stops at different purports, which you consider important.
Oh, okay.
Shri Sutuvacha.
Shri
Suta Goswami said. Sampratishte. Having gone to. Dwarakayam. The city of Dwaraka. Jishnau. Arjuna. Bandhu. Friends and relatives. Didrikshaya. For meeting them. Gyatum. To know. Cha. Also. Punya. Shokasha. Of one whose glories are sung by Vedic hymns. Krishnasya. Of Lord Krishna. Cha. And vichestitam, further programs of work. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shri Suta Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwaraka to see Lord Shri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descended on earth for the protection of the faithful and annihilation of the impious. So after the battle of Kurukshetra and establishment of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the mission of the Lord was complete. The Pandavas, especially Sri Arjuna, were eternal companions of the Lord, and therefore Arjuna went to Dwaraka to hear from the Lord of his next program of work. A few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhisthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. Purport. Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ad infinitum, more powerful than the most powerful sun of our experience. Millions and billions of suns are created by Him and annihilated by him within his one breathing period. In the material world, the sun is considered to be the source of all productivity and material energy. And due to the sun only, we have the necessities of life. Therefore, during the personal presence of the Lord on the earth, all paraphernalia of our peace and prosperity, especially religion and knowledge, were in full display. Because of the Lord's presence, just as there is a full flood of light in the presence of the glowing sun. Maharaj Yudhisthira observed some discrepancies in his kingdom, and therefore he became very anxious about Arjuna, who was long absent, and there was also no news about Dwaraka's well-being. He suspected the disappearance of Lord Krishna, otherwise there would have been no possibility of fearful omens. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Siddharane. Krishna Sudharma Upagate Jnana Dharma Visaha Kalo Nashta Drishameva Esha Purar Narako Dunoditaha. So Krishna Swadharma Upagate. Now that Krishna has left for his own abode, along with jnana, knowledge, and religiosity. Krishna Swadharma Upagate Jnana Dharma Javi Saha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha. So where can one take shelter in this age of Kali Yuga? Parar Narako Duno Ditaha. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun during this iron age of darkness, and those who are fortunate, or that now that Krishna has left for his own abode, along with religion and knowledge, this Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun to dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. We're so absorbed in Kali Yuga, it's hard for us to imagine a situation on this planet which is peaceful. Imagine if you you read a newspaper and it said that in the newspapers, Nanda Maharaja's cows gave 300,000 liters of milk today. That was the headlines. And a Bhagavatam class was held in the middle of the stadium, and 50,000 people attended and chanted and danced in full transcendental ecstasy. That was the second story. We're not used to such a situation, but that's the situation that was happening when Krishna was here. Even there was some fearful omen, maybe the cow, Marajuda's deer went out into the street, and a cow was there, and he saw an empty pail of milk, and that was the most fearful omen he had seen in years. Generally, if there's a cow and if there's a pail of milk, you'd like the pail to be full of milk. But this time he didn't see any milk, and therefore he became fearful and concluded that Krishna must have left the planet. Because when Krishna was here, everything was so perfect, it was almost like Vaikuntha. Of course, that was especially after all the demons were killed, and there were quite a number of demons to clear out before it became so nice. In any case, it's apparent, one of the symptoms of the fact that we're actually chanting the holy name with some potency is that some of these fearful omens like cow slaughter, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling will gradually diminish and dry up. But it doesn't look like our chanting is having so much an effect, because these things don't seem to be diminishing very rapidly in our society. Therefore, it's going to take a lot more of spreading the Sankirtan movement, and also a lot more potency for our chanting in order to have the desired effect. I remember one time I saw Prabhupada in 1969 in December in Boston. They had just bought a new temple there on Beacon Street. The devotees, we went to a Harinam. I was in Buffalo. We went to Harinam in New York with the New York devotees. They took a picture of the devotees on the outside of the fountain in New York City and put it on the back of the Godhead magazine. I had gone home to see my parents, walked in with a dhoti and tilak, and they were quite surprised. Matter of fact, they were shocked. In any case, after that, we went to Boston, and Prabhupada came there. Some devotees went to the airport, but I stayed upstairs, and we were doing bhajans, and Prabhupada walked up, because the temple was on the second floor, and Prabhupada walked up, and the whole room became like, well, first I saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. There's a picture. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Boston Temple with his arms outstretched. And in the back are the Sankirtan devotees. So first I saw that painting was glowing So I thought, well, something must be happening. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seems like he's glowing. And then Prabhupada walked up the steps, and the whole room became Vaikuntha. And everyone in the temple room felt that they were actually in Vaikuntha. So that's the potency we need. We had a few devotees like that. Wherever they went, they created Vaikuntha. Then this movement would spread quite rapidly. People would be interested. Of course, we chant and we dance, and they see our enthusiasm, and they become, because generally speaking, people are not very enthusiastic in Kali Yuga. They're quite morose. We went on Harinam yesterday, and you can see most people are bored. They're just looking around, looking in the windows, trying to figure out what to buy, what will make them happy. But it's the same old thing. Instead of a dress that's yellow, they think that if I buy a dress that's red, that will make me happy. And what I'm actually missing is red shoes along with the red dress, and that will make my life complete. And when they can't find happiness in that way, then they go to the bar. And they can watch people with red dresses and red shoes and see how happy they are. And then take some intoxication to forget how unhappy they are. And because they forget, therefore they become happy. They think happiness is forgetfulness, which is because when they take some intoxication, they can't remember all their problems they think they have. And therefore that's a kind of happiness. And then at the end of that intoxication, all the problems they start remembering again, they become unhappy. In any case, when they see the devotees enthusiastically dancing and chanting, then they think, well, maybe I should do that too. Maybe that will make me happy. And indeed, people actually get some different experience by doing that. But if the devotees were actually powerfully meditating upon Krishna, or actually bringing Krishna and his abode into this world through their meditation on Krishna, then the world would transform very quickly. Because Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. When a devotee like Prabhupada was present, or in this case, we'll find out later on, Maharaja Vidura came back after pilgrimage, Maharaja Yudhisthira greeted him with the words, Bhavan Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhutak Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantak Stena Katabhritaha. That the saints like yourself, you're very, verily holy places of pilgrimage, because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. We may make so many arrangements for, you know, nice buildings. One time Srila Prabhupada wrote to me, because I wrote to him, I was asking if it was all right. I was a temple president in a temple in Texas. And I was asking if it was all right if we buy a new place or rent a new place. We didn't have the money to buy any place. So he said yes, and he said that just like if I myself sat underneath the tree, then no one would come to listen to me, especially in America. Therefore, we have to have a nice place for people to come so they can sit down and hear our philosophy. But that's not sufficient. Actually, what we have to do is be Krishna conscious. We have to experience what Krishna consciousness is. It's supposed to be full of bliss, full of awareness of that bliss, not just a little bliss, it's supposed to be complete bliss. And it's supposed to go on perpetually, eternally. So that's called Krishna consciousness. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, if you're feeling morose, that's the sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. It is not possible to be Krishna conscious and materially morose at the same time. If we want to give up our moroseness, then we have to become conscious of Krishna. And of course, there's a process of doing that. If we follow the standard process then gradually we might be able to remember Krishna. It's as simple as that. Remember Krishna with some feeling of devotion. Therefore, our formula is quite simple. Krishna has given that formula many different ways, but one of the formula is Chetasa Sarva Karmani Maya Sanyasi Matvaraha Buddhiyogama Pashitya Matshita Ksadatam Bhava. That in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service be fully conscious of me. In other words, in general, in all activities, not just coming to the temple, which is certainly an important activity, that we should become conscious of Krishna, but in all activities throughout the day, 24 hours, satatam, Krishna uses the word satatam, all the time, we have to feel ourselves to be a servant of Krishna, or a servant of Krishna's servants. That should be our identification. That's what actually initiation is supposed to mean. That we actually feel ourselves, we're committing ourselves being a servant of someone. Ultimately, of Krishna's representative. So we can actually be Krishna's servant. Just like in the police, when a policeman tells you to stop on the street, you stop. Not only because he has a gun, he might shoot you if you don't stop, which is probably a good enough cause, but we stop because he's the representative of the government. We're obeying him. Not that I dress up in the uniform as a policeman and make a paper badge we get from some Gurukul somewhere, we get one of the students to make a, you know, 5-star sheriff. And I put up my hand, stop, and people stop. They won't stop because I'm not really representing the government. So similarly, we're supposed to feel ourselves to be a servant of someone who's or the servant of the servants of those who are representing Krishna. Anyone who's representing Krishna, who's actually representing Krishna, then we have to follow them. Otherwise, what is the meaning of being a servant of Krishna? I only do what Krishna wants me to do. And how do I know what Krishna wants me to do? Well, here he's on the altar. If he wants me to do something, he'll tell me. He hasn't told me anything in a long time. He may have been speaking, but I don't know if he knows English. Maybe he spoke in Sanskrit and I missed it. But anyhow, I'm a servant of Krishna. I only listen to him because he doesn't say very much, so. No, if someone is actually representing Krishna, repeating Krishna's words, whether one's initiating spiritual master or the fact that my initiating spiritual master and all the devotees in disciple succession have told me that the important thing is that someone who's actually representing Krishna, I should follow their instructions. Then we know what Krishna wants us to do, if we can assimilate that idea and put it into practice. So, and the background of the whole thing, Prabhupada writes, is the fact we have to accept, first of all, that everything belongs to Krishna. There's no question of doing things all the time for Krishna unless everything belonged to Krishna. Not that we come into the temple and we figure out what I should do for Krishna because Krishna, we heard, owns the temple. Especially in India sometimes, they put the name of the temple in the deity. The deity, the deed, the proprietor of the temple is the deity's name. You know, Shishi Radha Gopinath's temple. Therefore, I do whatever Krishna wants me to do here because he's the proprietor and I'm the guest. But outside, when I walk outside the temple, it's everyone for themselves. No, actually, Krishna owns everywhere, every time, forever. And therefore, Prabhupada gives the example, just like if you're in a bank and you're counting millions of dollars, you can't consider even one penny to belong to yourself or else you become a thief. If we're in this material world and everything belongs to Krishna, then we should figure out how to utilize everything for Krishna's service. Of course, the Prabhupada says that if Krishna is not personally present like he was with Arjuna, then how will we know how to act? If one acts according to Krishna's direction in this book, namely the Bhagavad Gita, as well as the representatives of Krishna, then the result will be the same. And then Prabhupada says this word, matparaha, is very important in this word, in this verse, that one should have no goal in life, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. That's all we need, is that idea, to accept that idea. I have no goal in life, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in such a way, one should think only that I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. And I'm doing it just to please him. In other words, if we're serious and we find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then we think that Krishna is asking me to do this, and it's very clear to me that's what he wants me to do, and therefore I'll do it just to please him, then the result is that one will naturally think about Krishna. And that's all we're really trying to do. That's why we're called the Hare Krishna, the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We're just trying to become conscious of Krishna. And consciousness of Krishna means to think about Krishna. Is it very unlikely Krishna is going to get off the altar and come to us and shake our hands? You did a good service today. Congratulations. No, becoming conscious of Krishna for us now means to think about him. And there are different degrees of thinking about him, either once in a while, or constantly with some depth to the meditation. Or one may be constantly thinking about Krishna with some depth to the meditation, and that meditation is constantly increasing. It's becoming more and more clear, and more consistent, more and more profound. And then finally, when it's consistently and forever and ever becoming more and more profound, more and more ecstatic, then we've entered into the stage of samadhi, which is the perfection. And at that stage, one comes to the stage of bhava, and one realizes his swarup siddhi, his relationship with Krishna. And when you multiply that feeling that we develop millions of times, because that feeling is just one ray in the sunlight of prema, when you multiply that little ray a millions of times, then it becomes called prema. Therefore, the conclusion is, if we remember Krishna once in a while, we're doing quite well. But we shouldn't think we've reached the perfectional stage yet. We should be encouraged, and that encouragement will further develop if we come and hear regularly the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we associate with Krishna by hearing. When we hear about Krishna, then we can remember Krishna. And our devotional service is meant to help us develop our ability to hear. As our hearts become purified of material contamination, then our ability to hear, because our consciousness becomes clearer, we're not batted around by hankering and lamentation, we're not batted around by looking at people, either thinking themselves to be enemies or friends or victims or whatever else we're thinking. We see everyone as an ally in our attempt to become Krishna conscious, a helper, an assistant. Therefore, everything is seen in relation to Krishna. All living entities are seen in relation to Krishna, and all this material energy is seen in relation to Krishna. Therefore, one is very easy to hear about Krishna, because everything is related to Krishna. And in that state, if we hear about Krishna, then gradually things will be revealed to us. We'll become more conscious. And therefore our varna dasa will be able to accept more easily what the Bhagavatam is saying, because we'll experience it and realize it to a greater degree. And that's when remembrance of Krishna begins, even interruptedly. Or as Prabhupada says, when one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra in ecstasy, because associating with Krishna and remembering him means we should experience ecstasy, Ladini Shakti. Now that's what actually ultimately purifies our heart. We can understand something intellectually, and Krishna will give us that intellectual understanding at first, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna says, I give them the understanding. That's more or less Varna Dasha, where we get some intellectual understanding what this is all about. In other words, things become simpler. It is not that intellectual understanding means we gain the ability to speculate more. We can debate, you know, where the jiva came from. Now we're getting so many ideas. Because I know one jiva who joined the movement, he came from New York. So when people ask me where the jiva came from, I said, I know one who came from New York. No, not that we get the ability to speculate more and debate with each other. No, what we get is a clearer, simpler understanding of how to consistently engage in devotional service with love. Then the more we do that, then tesham eva nukam paratam, then Krishna reveals himself to us when he sees we're serious. And we become ecstatic when we're actually in Krishna's presence, just like it mentions here, in the presence of the sun, there can't be darkness. So in the presence of Krishna, there can't be any illusion, there can only be awareness and ecstasy, permanent awareness and ecstasy. Therefore, that stage, then that's called Smarana Dasha. And one feels some happiness sometimes, some transcendental ecstasy. And then one becomes inspired to go on with the process of devotional service. Without some illumination, without some at least intellectual understanding, without some transcendental experience of ecstasy and pleasure, then what is the impetus to be in the Hare Krishna movement? I mean, the prasadam is usually good. The castle is heated by wood, so it's usually warm. And there may be other impetuses, but if we really want to stay in the Hare Krishna movement and be inspired to do service, we have to get transcendental experience, at least intellectual, more growing intellectual understanding and acceptance of the process. That when the Time magazine, just like sometimes we have children, they have this ceremony where they put grains, coins in one place, and they put the Bhagavatam in another place. And we want to see, find out what the tendencies of the child are, whether he's going to become a Vaishya or a Brahmin, and they let the little child loose and he crawls up to whatever. So we may make that experiment even with the devotees. We put a Time magazine in one place and the Bhagavatam in another place and a camera. See what the devotee goes for. Time magazine, Srimad Bhagavatam. See what our real interest is. If one is experiencing transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness, then one will go for the Bhagavatam because there's some pleasure there. Pleasure is what drives people in whatever we're doing. If we're not following the process, then it's impossible to experience transcendental pleasure by hearing about Krishna. And if we follow the process, if we're dedicating our energies in Krishna's service, then we'll develop a taste for hearing the Bhagavatam. And the more that taste develops, then the more we become aware, then naturally throughout the day, then we'll be able to remember that everything is Krishna's energy, and what should I do now to serve Krishna? And therefore there won't be a time when we're in Maya, and there won't be a time when we're in partial consciousness of Krishna. And therefore it won't be just like you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then you take it out of the fire and you put it into ice water, and it gets colder and colder and colder. And then we wonder, you know, why is it that I'm not steadily in Krishna consciousness? Maybe it's in my stars. Or maybe it's my mother's fault. No, actually it's because when we're in the temple, there's nothing to look at but Radha and Krishna, Radha Gopinath and their associates. And therefore, we don't generally look around contemplating the objects of the senses. There's nothing to buy here. There's usually nothing to eat. And if there's something to eat, we're not supposed to look at it. And we know, more or less, we're under certain rules and regulations here, certain etiquette. And therefore, the tendency to contemplate the objects of the senses, to enjoy them, is generally not, for those devotees who have some experience, is not the proper, we know it's not the proper thing to do. Madhavendra Puri was in the temple, he saw some sweet rice offered to Gopinath, not our Gopinath, a different Gopinath. And he thought, if I could taste some of that preparation, then I could know how to make it for my Gopal back in Vrindavan. So he thought like that, and he became embarrassed that I have this enjoying tendency, and therefore he left without taking any of the sweet rice. He felt he had become an offender. That's called an advanced devotee. In any case, we're under certain restraints here, and therefore the contemplation of the objects of senses, the development of lust, anger, greed, envy, delusion, bewilderment of memory, loss of intelligence, generally doesn't go on in the temple. What goes on is the remembrance of Krishna. But if we walk out of the temple, we don't remember that we're actually a servant and we're not supposed to look around the material world to figure out what to control and enjoy here, then the result is that we forget. And when we forget, then we're not in the fire anymore of Krishna consciousness. And when we come back to chanting our rounds, we remember to do that, then we feel that there's a lot to clear away, a lot of cobwebs in our mind that may have been recently, may have been in the past, but then we have to work on clearing out our recent memories. We start chanting, and we're remembering all the things that, more or less, not necessarily the temple in Radha Gopinath. I mean, if we can sit there during our japa period and just remember Radha Gopinath spontaneously, that would be very nice. But that would probably mean that throughout the whole day we're thinking of Radha and Gopinath. And therefore, when we're chanting Hare Krishna in the temple, it's just a continuation of our process of remembrance. But if we were doing many other things, thinking about many other things rather than Radha Gopinath during the day, then when we chant Hare Krishna, those are probably the first things that come to our mind. And therefore, our remembrance of Krishna is not so powerful. Matter of fact, we may have to chant for 2 hours or more, and then suddenly we start remembering that I should be thinking of Krishna when I'm chanting Hare Krishna. In any case, when we can come to that platform, when throughout the whole day we're actually remembering Krishna, then we'll become much more powerful in our ability to spread Krishna consciousness. And only when we have sufficient number of devotees who are powerful in their consciousness of Krishna will we make an actual difference in this world. It doesn't matter. Other factors may not be so important. But even a little bit like that, we can see when the devotees are a little enthusiastic how people become attracted, even by that little enthusiasm. What to speak of someone as powerful as Prabhupada? I remember being at airports when Prabhupada arrived, and even the non-devotees were crying. They didn't know why, but they were crying. Because the spiritual influence is so great. I remember one time Prabhupada came in San Francisco, I was at the airport, and one lady was going, he's glowing. Look at that man, he's glowing. So that's called transcendental Krishna consciousness. That means that's called transparent via media. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that one heart becomes so illuminating that it's just like the sunlight. That is actually uttama bhakti, or the topmost bhakti. In other words, one is actually the representative of Krishna at that time. He's actually representing Krishna fully. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
So I should extend that when we think about Krishna, we are blissful and happy. But sometimes when we are distressed, and even though we think about Krishna, we are still sad.
Oh, because we're not really thinking about Krishna. Thinking about Krishna means Krishna's name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, his entourage, all in the spiritual energy, Ladini Shakti. That's fully thinking about Krishna. It means, just like we're looking around in this room now, so one who's actually fully in Krishna consciousness, he'll be able to see within his heart and outside the pastimes of Krishna that is going on. That's full Krishna consciousness. But even a little bit, if we're actually feeling the transcendental pleasure of Krishna consciousness, there won't be any room for anything else to be experienced, even if it's not full Krishna consciousness. So we're thinking about Krishna and thinking about how unhappy I am. It means that I'm not really thinking about Krishna very much. It's called Misra Bhakti. It's mixed thoughts. Therefore, in the beginning, in the stage of sadhana bhakti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that in between shraddha and anartha nivritti, then remembrance of Krishna may be there, but it's mixed with other topics. Only when it's not mixed with other topics does it become ruchi at the stage of, or at nishta, and then ruchi. So when it's not mixed with other topics, when it's actually concentrated, then we can actually experience more concentrated Krishna's transcendental spiritual energy, the pleasure potency. But otherwise, the material world itself, everything here is Krishna. And that transcendental pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, is now coming through the three modes. So therefore, there's a little pleasure here from Ladini Shakti, but it's completely mixed up with the three modes. Therefore, a pure devotee, when he looks around and sees people's when they're morose, he's thinking that actually they're morose because they're separated from Krishna. They're feeling separation from Krishna. Yes.
So, Manachar, we are supposed to think of Krishna while chanting Hare Krishna, and yet we cannot force that to happen. It would rather be resolved.
He could force it to happen. It won't make very much difference. We can force it to happen. We can force our minds to remember Krishna, but we won't be able to do it for very long.
And you said it comes about as a result of remembering Krishna throughout the day, or if we remember Krishna throughout the day, then we have a better chance to remember also during our life.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then it comes to mind, I don't know where I heard it now, that Narayan challenged Narada Muni, who was always chanting, and he saw a farmer, and Narada was not chanting. And he mentioned that to Narayan, and then Narayan gave an assignment to Narayan. So can you bring this cup of milk to this farmer? And then when he came back, did you chant on the way? He said, no, he was focusing on his service. So when
no, that's not. I don't know these stories. I don't want to make comments on stories. The fact is, if we're focusing on our service, then naturally we remember Krishna. If it was really for Krishna. It's not just service, it has to be for Krishna. If you're in love with some lady and you're doing some activity to please her, you're not going to think about her? What's that? Yeah, of course, that's why you're doing the activity. So if we're actually doing some activity to please Krishna, how can we not remember Krishna? The point is, we may do some service, but it may not be only to please Krishna. Therefore, we don't remember him. Yes?
It seems that while we are living in the Templar community or institution, then it's approaching the spiritual master for instructions or service, it's a little bit like irrelevant because it's already like
Well, they're also Krishna's representatives. It's not that. When Prabhupada was asked one time in a morning walk, it was Satsarupa Maharaj who asked him, that Prabhupada, we see that, you know, you're not present very much at your different temples, that how will we actually know what we're doing? How will the devotees know that they're pleasing you? So Prabhupada said, I have my representatives, the GBC's there, the temple president's there, I have my representatives there. So if they're pleased, then I'm pleased.
Then what will be the role of Guru?
Gurus tell you the truth. The truth is everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. And we should serve them according to their level of realization. His teacher, the science of Krishna consciousness. And in the science of Krishna consciousness, including within that, are all the other devotees too. So how to properly serve them.
But this is over in thought.
What's that?
But if it's already taught in the books by other representatives of Krishna.
Yeah, well, if you can understand what's in the books, that's very good. But just like you go to a drugstore, there's so many medicines. So if you go to the drugstore and say, well, this is the drugstore, it has everything there to cure me. And personally, you know, I like pink medicine, so I think I'll try the pink medicine first. No, you have to know what, someone has to tell you what the particular medicine you have to take individually for yourself. So similarly, you need someone who's more expert than you are to know, to help you to make some further progress. It may be your initiating guru, it may be someone who's just higher on a level of spiritual attainment than you have, who can see things more clearly than you can. Otherwise, why have a Bhagavatam class every day? If you know everything, you might as well sit here and give the Bhagavatam class, because all the books are there. You go, well, I don't really have to come to the class because everything's in the books already. But how much of the books have we assimilated and understood to come to the platform of actually being fixed in Krishna consciousness and pure devotional service? So supposedly we have to hear from people who have more experience than we are, and we do. So that when we do read these verses, when we do hear it, it makes more sense to us than it would have otherwise. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if one hears from Krishna in this book, as well as the representative of Krishna, or as William Blake said, we both read the Bible day and night. I read black and you read white. There's only one truth that's realized by persons who are on the spiritual platform. Or people who are on a higher platform than we have obtained, they realize more of the truth than we have. So in any case, even in the mode of ignorance, we realize very little. The mode of passion is somewhat more. The mode of goodness, we realize a whole lot more. And in transcendence, then we actually realize things clearly. So not everyone is on the same level of consciousness. Anything else? Yes.
So, in terms of like clarification or understanding, perhaps then, can you just put that in? I can also like in terms of like not initiation and all those things. What's the function of all these things?
Of what?
Function of initiation.
Initiation is because to become a servant of everyone means to be a servant of no one. If you're everyone's servant, then you just pick and choose whatever you like. It's like when Prabhupada left and we had 11 initiating gurus. But the idea was you can accept a Shiksha guru. So some devotees, they decided to accept Shiksha gurus who were eating pizza and ice cream and 7-Up. Because then they can offer their pizza and ice cream and 7-Up to those gurus. So that kind of type of surrender is not very valuable. Therefore, we have to choose someone who may actually, if we're sincere, and they're capable, they're actually qualified enough, then they can tell us things that we should do that we may not want to do, and we'll actually do them. Or they may tell us not to do something that we want to do, that we shouldn't do. Or they may tell us things that we should do, that we, you know, etc. In other words, that's called surrender. Generally, the conditioned soul doesn't want to surrender, and therefore he chooses his association and he chooses his authorities according to his modes of nature he's situated under and his particular tastes, so these authorities don't interfere with his taste. Now, if we had a fully self-realized souls, they could see beyond any conditioning and know exactly what we should do and what we should not do. But even if we don't have a fully self-realized spiritual master, still living in the association of devotees, and if we learn the science, then gradually we'll learn how to serve different devotees. And some of them may ask us to do things that we may not want to do, and we may, if we have the proper understanding and consciousness, we may do that out of service to them. And sometimes they'll ask us not to do something that we want to do, and we won't do it because we have the proper understanding and service attitude. So that's what we have to develop. The spiritual master, the initiating guru, is supposed to be that devotee with the highest level of realization, the highest serving attitude, the most clear understanding of Krishna consciousness, so they can impart it to us in a way that we can develop that service attitude not only to the spiritual master, but to all the other devotees in accordance to their different levels of spiritual attainment. So we can actually become a servant of Krishna's servants, or the servant of the servant of the servant. Yes? If you're a servant of everyone, you claim yourself to be everyone's servant, then you just pick and choose, you know, what service you want. You know, this person, I don't want to get near them because they're going to tell me to do something I don't want to do. I only associate with my friends. And I'm servant to them. And we go out and we go to the movies together. Especially if there's some scene of reincarnation in it, then it's bona fide. And my friends agree that this is the best service we can do to Krishna and the Hare Krishna movement. So it's confirmed. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.